Kunjabi Hare. Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare Jaya. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Paradhari Jaya. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Paradhari Jaya. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Se Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya. Se Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Paradhari Jaya. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Paradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhava, Jai Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava, Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada.
Jai Om Shri Bhadra Bhangsa Parivrajasara Sri Samadha Vachananda Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Iskand Founder Charger Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Nama Charger Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. प्रेम श्री घोर श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री बांसुरी गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा माधव गोपीनाथ श्याम कंद राधा कंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन सिंह थुर धाम की जय। नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जय। कंग माई जमुन माई की जय। तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय। संग वेद भक्तवृंद की जय। हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। श्रीमद भागवताम की जय। जय नित्याय गौर प्रेमानंदी। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग। ग्लोरीज टू श्री गोपाल। Hare Krishna. This morning we are reading from Sri Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, entitled Ambarish Maharaj Offended by Darasa Muni. Text number 29. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Radha Yashu Krishna. Hare Radha Yashu Krishna. Mahisha Tula Shilaya. Mahisha Tula Shilaya. Yukta Sambhart Sarambhiram. Yukta Sambhat Saram Vidyo Dadhara Dvarasi Vrattam. Dadhara Dvarasi Vrattam. Hare Radha Yishu Krishnam. Mahisha Tulya Shilayan. Yukta Sambhat Saram Vidyo Nadhara Dvarasi Vratam. Hare Radha Vishu Vikrishnam. Mahisha Tulashilaya. Yukta Sambhatsaram Viro. Nadhara Dvarasi Vratam. Krishna Mahisya Tulashilaya Yukta Sambhatsaram Viro Raradvara Sivatam. Hare Krishna Mahisya Tulashilaya.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Radhya Yeshu. Aspiring to worship Krishnam, the Supreme Lord Krishna, Mahishya, with his queen, Tulya Shilaya. One was equally as qualified as Maharaj Ambarish. Yukta, together, Samvatsaram, for 1 year, Viraha, the king, Dadhara, accepted Dvadashi Vratam, the vow for observing Akadasi and Dvadasi. Translation, to worship Lord Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish, along with his queen, who was equally qualified, observed the vow of Akadasi and Dvadasi for 1 year. Please repeat. To worship Lord Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish, along with his wife, who was equally qualified, observed the vow of Akadasi and Dvadasi for 1 year. Purport by Swami Gaisaisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. To observe Akadasi Vrata and Dvadasi Vrata means to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those interested in advancing in Krishna consciousness must observe Akadasi Vrata regularly. Maharaj Ambarish's queen was equally as qualified as the king. Therefore, it was possible for Maharaj Ambarish to engage his life in household affairs. In this regard, the word Tulya Shilaya is very significant. Unless a wife is equally as qualified as her husband, household affairs are very difficult to continue. Chanika Pandit advises that a person in such a situation should immediately give up household life and become a vanaprast or sannyas. Matayasya grihinasti bharya chapriya badani aranyam tena gantavyam yatharanyam tatha griham. A person who has no mother at home and his wife is not agreeable with him should immediately go away to the forest, because human life is meant for spiritual advancement only. One's wife must be helpful in this endeavor. Otherwise, there's no need of household life. And the purport. Omayanam tinam dasya gyanam gyanam prakaya chakshur mithunya tasmai sri guru namah. Nama om vishnumdaya krisai bhutare simati bhakti vidanta swamini tinamane. Namaste saraswati devi gauravani pacharine nevishesha shandavari asadatharine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again. To worship Lord Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish, along with his queen, who was equally qualified, observed the vow of Akadasi and Dvadasi for 1 year. So this section is glorifying the pure devotee Maharaj Ambarish. Very special devotee. He signifies all the nine processes of devotional service, beginning with Shravanam Kirtan, Vishnu Smaranam, because he engaged all his time, because he was a king, a householder, but all of his activities were dovetailed with Krishna. He was understanding, as he mentioned here, that this is the only purpose. This is the only purpose of the human form of life. Only real purpose, that is, because there's an option that's Maya, but that won't lead one back into another material body again. But the actual only purpose of human life is self-realization, no? Krishna consciousness. Because only in the human form of life this possibility is there. This, out of all the transmigrational species, this is, you get to the human form as a portal. You can actually leave the material world altogether, go back to the spiritual world, understand. But the other species, you don't get that opportunity. So, saying Hare Maharaj was observing this Akadasi Vrata for 1 year. Then, as the story goes, then Devasa Muni will come, and we will see how the Maharaj Ambarish is fully protected by the Lord, without asking for protection, without asking for anything. He was always a surrendered soul, so he's always dependent on the Lord, and following the Lord nicely, and he's doing all his duties, because actually human life is one of duty. As soon as you're born, you have duties to perform, you have debts to repay, the parents, the forefathers, the demigods, the rishis, etc., teachers. One is obliged to repay them in different ways. animals, they don't have this. Other lower species, they don't have. They're not born in debt, but the human form is one of obligation. If you want to become free of the samsara, the reincarnation, the cycle of birth and death. So therefore, he was strictly observing all these scriptural injunctions, because the scripture is coming from Krishna. The Vedas, by the Vedas I am to be known. I am the compiler of the Vedas. They're coming from him, and they're to know Krishna. Otherwise, why would he bother to bring them? So all of these scriptures are meant, some are direct scriptures, like we have, the Bhagavad Purana, Gita, and other six Puranas are more direct than the others are indirect. But everything is actually leading to Krishna. So those scriptures that advise you, or suggest you can worship demigods, etc., to fulfill your material desires, then you can. Mostly they're like that, because that's what mostly people want, to fulfill their material desires in this life and be happy in the next life also. But the whole purpose is that they're progressive. You follow them, you'll at least stay in the human form of life and progress in your next birth. And here it mentioned how with a qualified wife, then it makes things a lot easier. Qualified wife is the qualifications of the woman. The main qualification is chastity and submission. Right? just by chastity, the wife gets the same benefits as the man. I mean, regards spiritual advancement. Although she didn't go to the Gurukul and study the Vedas and perform austerities, and she didn't do all that. She has other duties to the supportive, and because the male body is better actually for self-realization than woman's body. So then the man takes that role of to get the spiritual advancement, and the woman is the assistant. She keeps everything peaceful back on the ground level. But she gets the same destination, and because of her chastity, if the husband is off, if the husband is fallen and he doesn't go higher, he goes down. But she doesn't follow him down. If she's chaste, she goes onward. So, but submission is not a popular word in today's world. Submission, equality is a a word that is favored now, equal rights and equality. Especially during Prabhupada's time, Prabhupada preached a lot on this point because it was topical at that time when he started this movement in that 10 years. The women's lib and all that was coming up, and Prabhupada used it a lot, and he used to joke with the girls also. He told Shruti Kirti on the airplane, he said, call the air hostess over and ask if she wants liberation, we can give. She has to shave her hair. Ask if she'll do it. He's making a joke. Shruti wouldn't go along with it. So he used to joke with him sometimes because the duties are there in the scripture. They're the best. So if you don't follow scripture, what is it? What do you follow? You follow your own mind or someone else's mind. That's it. And someone has to be submissive. Someone has to take the lead. It works better like that in every field. In every field, right? It works better if we are submissive to our authority. It works better. And if the people we're in charge of are submissive, then it works better. It's always like that. You can't change that. That's a fact. There's no such thing as equality, actually, materially. Nobody's equal. Who is equal? Exactly equal. It doesn't exist. They were talking like that. You get an equality. It doesn't mean... I mean, when... if I see a woman driving a truck, or a professional wrestler, or a soldier, actually engaged in armed combat, it doesn't do anything to me. I don't think, so proud of our women. It's a man's job, And it's someone has to be submissive, right? You have to be submissive to the government. How the government, whatever government it is, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. How the government gets there, they're a dictatorship, or they put themselves in, or the people put them in. It's the same thing. If there's no scriptural standards, then who are you following? It's just their own concocted ideas, feelings. So they're all any process, any political line, any ism that you choose to follow. Unless it's based on scripture, it won't be for the ultimate good. It won't be for a progressive spiritual life to advance spiritually. One system may work a little better than another system materially, but but in any case, there's submission and there's the authority and there's submission to the authority. Then the system works. If people do that, any system will work. So. But the authority has to be a spiritual authority. It has to come from the scripture, Krishna, Guru, and Sadhu, Shastra. If we follow that, then we know we're sure. On whatever stage we're on, whatever level we're on, wherever our realization is, we can pick up on that. So therefore, there's different grades. Krishna says, manmana baba papakto. You surrender. This is the best thing to do. Surrender to me. Don't worry about anything else. If you can't do that, engage in meditation. Can't do that, knowledge is better. If you can't do that, practice meditation. Write down to charity. If you can't do any, just give some charity. At least it'll keep you progressive. It's an act of sacrifice. You're giving energy. It's not spiritual, but Krishna's at least do something. Do something. The best, that's if you, so there's all these different processes that are given, specifically Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Shankhya Yoga, all these different systems are given for, because people have different mentalities, different goals of life, different values in life, and they like to follow. So, but in any case, there has to be submission. Otherwise, what are you left with? Your own likes and dislikes, and somebody has to take the submissive role. So more or less, in the world today, probably all of us were a different gender last time. So we may think this gender has more advantages than the other, but it's not like that. Then you get that, because if you're in without spirituality, then the default consciousness is everything is for my enjoyment. That's the material default. That's how we're born in that consciousness. Everything is for my. That's what material world is. Everything is for my enjoyment. That's the false ego. That's the way it goes. But so that's a changeover that one has to come to. It's not actually meant for my enjoyment. It's meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Not that he enjoys the material energy, but everything. The principle is everything is meant for his enjoyment. We're meant for his enjoyment. That's the purpose of our existence. So if we're not engaged in serving Krishna, then we're living an unnatural life. So we take that principle, everything belongs to Krishna, we can use everything in the service of Krishna, because we have to do things, right? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, they're going to go on. So how do you do that without staying in samsara? So you connect it with Krishna. If we have only the two rules we have, always accept what's favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject what's unfavorable. Everything else is, if you're doing that, then that's your success. That is success in spiritual life. Accepting what's favorable and what is unfavorable. What is favorable, what is unfavorable. So that is given, especially the favorable, that is given in the scripture. Otherwise we'll speculate. If we don't follow the scripture, we'll speculate that this seems like a good idea and it may be counterproductive. We may be doing something counterproductive because we are conditioned souls. We're subject to make mistakes, tendency to cheat, illusion. So now, no matter how great a materialist may be, we're all fitting in the same category. They're all illusion people, right? So, and they're leading the other illusion people. However you elect them, it's the same thing as there. You got blind people electing more blind people, spiritually blind people electing, or more spiritually blind, or a dictator who thinks he knows better and does it himself. But it's the same thing. There's no ultimate benefit. You'll take birth again in the material world. So it behooves one to actually follow the scripture and the sadhu and the guru. This is what they're all saying, right? The scripture is saying, accept the guru, surrender to Krishna. Krishna is saying, accept the guru. Inquire from him submissively. Krishna says, surrender to me. Sadhu says, hear these instructions of Krishna. Remember Krishna. Love, serve Krishna. Go back to Krishna. The guru says the same thing. So principles are the same. They're saying that this is what we should do. Then we're actually sure. So Maharaj Ambarish, he was actually in this category of a pure unalloyed devotee. And he knew that art. He knew that. He knew we read before that he was completely unattached, because he knew that everything was in the material was temporary. Although he had a very great position, something to be attached to. Being an emperor is not a small thing. He was the emperor of the world. But he knew it was all temporary. Because he'd heard from the guru, he'd heard from the scripture that it is temporary, and he had that conviction. So therefore he wasn't so much attached. And so he could perform all his duties, and his wife was very helpful. She was also very advanced. That's why it says one should get a qualified wife, means one who is also spiritual, if you want spiritual life. Therefore you see in the Vanashram system, the people, they keep within their caste, right? The Kshatriyas marry Kshatriyas, the Brahmanas marry Brahmanis, and the Vaishyas marry like that, keep it in. Because if too much, it means they're different in modes of nature. from the mode of the Brahmins in the mode of goodness, Kshatriyas in the mode of passion, Vaishya mode of mixed, and the Shudras in the mode of ignorance. So better marry someone who's a similar nature. Otherwise, there's going to be some problems. That means it's qualified, but then they should be submissive to the to their particular role. Just like that, the husband. Everyone has to be submissive. Even the men has to be submissive. They have to be submissive to the orders of Guru or the injunctions of scripture. He's performing many austerities, Maharaj Ambarish. He's performing a big sacrifice. He's doing this vrata, tapasya, for 1 year. So he's submissive. Everyone is submissive in the material world. Right? Everyone is submissive to the body, the nature. Although the submission is not such a popular word, but actually if you want equality, be submissive, the ladies. If they want to control their husbands, be submissive. That's the way to do it. Not to compete with them, but to be submissive. Of course we're talking about culture people here, because if someone's uncultured, then they will exploit. If you become submissive, you're humble in the material world, people will step on you, right? But if both parties are cultured, you see, if a woman is submissive, then the man becomes obligated. He becomes more attached, and there's nothing he won't do for his wife, who is very submissive. So they can actually the man becomes submissive to them, actually. So that's the way, that's the psychology. like Kapila Muni, his wife was very submissive, and he was living in a hut in the forest, and she's from royal family, princess. Huh? Kadama, sorry. Huh? Sorry. Kapila's father, yeah. Kadama Muni. That he was so obliged to his wife that, you know, he's looking at her, and she's a princess, and she's got this hair all in a jut, dreadlocks, and her fingernails are all broken, and the cloth is not very clean because she didn't use soap, you just use river water. And she's not complaining, she's skinny. And his heart melts. And then he gives her all kinds of, you know, luxurious, by his mystic power. Because he was captivated by her submission and dedication. You see, she won his heart, and then he came submissive to her desires. She had some desires. Many instances. But anyway, it's like that. Yeah, submission must be there to somebody. Everyone is submissive, right? You have to be submissive. We control. Control means submission. Right? We're controlled by eating, sleeping, mating, defending. We are submissive to those things, right? We can't deny them. We can't say, no, I'm not going to sleep, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to enjoy. Right? We can't say that. You can say it, but it doesn't mean anything, because you're going to eat anyway, you're going to sleep anyway, you're going to try to enjoy anyway, and try to defend yourself. It's a natural thing. So you're submissive, we're submissive, subordinate to this material energy. So the poor little soul is suffocating here in this gigantic body of the different elements, pushing it around and making all these demands, feed me, clothe me, empty me, satisfy me. It's constant demands. The body, the little soul is getting exhausted. when you hear this Atma Tattva, it's a breath of fresh air. Well, something else beside this. But the fact is, even if you understand the difference between the ourselves and the body, we're still conditioned by it. We still have to follow the dictates. Right? If the pure devotees still eat, they still sleep. Right? I mean, some things you can reduce. You can reduce everything. You can stop the enjoying spirit if you're very advanced. But other things you really can't stop. Defense, And we stop defending. Just we read this. When the Vasa curses him with a demon, creates a demon to kill him, Ambrish is not fazed, not slightly, even though this monster was going to come and kill him. Dependent on Krishna. Oh, if Krishna wants to kill me, kill me. So that's the conviction that's a stature of the devotion of Maharam Barish. He was really him. I mean, really surrendered to Krishna. Therefore, he's become this great authority and as a great example that we follow. Everything engaged in the service of Krishna. It's no easy thing being an emperor. It's a great responsibility. So many problems are coming from different parts of the kingdom and threats of war, and because the buck stops at the top. He's answerable to all those things. So it's a big, big job to be an emperor. But still, because he was completely dependent on Krishna, and he was seeing everything as service to Krishna, and he had these advisors, the Brahmins were there, advising him how to see things, what steps to take. So that's what we want to know, that's what the scriptures tell us, that's what the sadhus tell us. What to do, the mood in which we do it in, all these things, that's what it's for, to help us to become insulated from becoming entangled with the modes of nature, material energy. Because as soon as you interface with Maya, then you get the reaction. When Maya shows her ghastly face, then we try to protect ourselves. Right? We try to fight Maya. Now you're interfacing with Maya. Right? Then there's a reaction for that. For that much time you spent with Maya, there's going to be a reaction for it. And conversely, when she shows an attractive face, then we try to enjoy her. Enjoy the situation. The amount of time we're trying to enjoy the situation, that amount of time you have to pay back. Exactly, I don't know, but that's a system, because you're interacting with Maya. She's one. This is her job. Her job is to distract us from serving Krishna. So when we interface with Maya on those two ways, then she's one. We think we are going to overcome the problem by being smart, but no, you're becoming implicated because you're using material methods to overcome some material obstacle, something which you don't find pleasing. You're becoming entangled. You're using the material energy, and material energy is the property of the demigods. I mean, they're in charge of it. So then you have to pay back. Nothing's free. You enjoy it, you pay. You suffer, you try to control it, you pay back. That's how it is. And get entangled like that. So we're all actually submissive, right? We're submissive to our senses. This is how we're born like this. Now we have to get out of that. We're trying to change that paradigm, that everything is actually meant for Krishna's enjoyment. I am not the enjoyer, so I shouldn't spend whole day trying to avoid the bad things. You know, trying to conduct my life in such a way that it'll be problem free. When I'm nicely situated, then I can enjoy it. This is material life. Only those two things are going on. How to manipulate the material energy so it won't give me too much trouble. And when I'm satisfied, when there's not too much trouble, then I can think about enjoying it. And then sleeping. And eating. That's it. That's material life. So there's only two things that one has to stop. The desire to enjoy and the desire to control. So Prabhupada said, when you act as the enjoyer, not as the when you act as the enjoyed Prakriti, not as the Purusha, not as the enjoyer, that's actual freedom. And that's the situation of the devotion. Then if you're not the enjoyer, if you're a Purusha, then who are you enjoyed by? Krishna. So remember that, then that means you're Krishna conscious, you're remembering Krishna. At least you're following, if you can't remember Krishna very apparently, then we follow the rules. Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we follow the rules. We may not understand why we're following the rules, but there's a reason that. Right? You may not like to shave your hair. I had a little problem with that. What's shaving my head got to do with spiritual life? You know? How's shaving my head going to make me more Krishna conscious? He said, do you shave up or ship out? So we don't, we don't know what is the actual standard. So it has to come from the scripture. And even then it's sometimes confusing, right? Contradictory. So therefore you need guru to clarify. No, it's like this. Because there's different options. No, like this. then you're safe. You have the guru. So you have to have, you need it. You definitely have to have a guru. And what he's saying is, it can't be anything different than what the scripture says. And that has also been confirmed with the sadhu. So then we know we're doing the right thing. Then you can be peaceful that you're doing the right thing at least. Then you just have to accept it. It's an austerity. Life is an austerity. Eh? As soon as you wake up in the morning, you have a problem. You can't resolve it. You wake up to a problem, you've got to go to the bathroom. Can't avoid it. So material life is like that. Material world is like that. It's problematic. No, it's not meant for spirit souls. But if the spirit soul has that desire to act like independent of Krishna, then you can't do it. It's impossible. But if you're adamant about doing it, okay, go there. Put you in the playground. Put the naughty child, they put in a playpen, right? Like a little cage. Then put some toys there, and it won't cause too much harm. So that's when you have enough of that, when you hit your head on the wall enough times, and you come to your senses, isn't it? I'm still not working. I'm still haven't achieved my dreams. Then you can raise your hand and say, God help me. Hare Krishna. Oh, now he's interested. Then send the guru, send the wake him up, bring him back. So it's a matter of accepting. We have to surrender to the fact that we're in a fix, we're in trouble in the material world. And we have to accept the proper medicine and diet. And it may not be exactly what we would prefer, but you have to do it. That's austerity. Anyway, it's austerity, right? Material life is austerity. There has to be austerity. There has to be troublesome. So why not, Prabhupada said, why not just make this one lifetime? Just surrender to Krishna, one lifetime. And that's it. Maharaj Pariksha is the emperor. He's performing severe austerities. Why? He's the emperor. He's in a position of an enjoyer. But he's performing austerities. He's ideal. Because he's following, he knows Krishna likes to follow this Akadasi Vrata. Why we follow Akadasi? Krishna likes it. Right? The main reason is for these things is to, of course, it will breed a little detachment, but the main thing is to save time, for you can do more essential, more direct devotional practices like hearing, chanting, remembering. That's actually the main thing of tapasya, in as much as giving things up, eating less, sleeping less, things like that. You save time for Now you can utilize that time in more direct service. So Maharaj Pariksit had all these, Maharaj Ambarish had all these wonderful qualities, ideal, from every angle of vision. He was a completely pure devotee. So therefore we're reading his story in the talking about the different dynasties. Now we're stopping here and elaborating on this one because it's worthwhile hearing about the activities and the qualities of Ambarish Maharaj. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Ambarish Maharaj ki jay. Ambarish's wife ki jay. Srila Prabhupada ki jay. Tiger open and the tiger.
Sometimes it's easier to follow the authorities, but sometimes there is a disagreement within the heart. At that time, how we should deal, that though the intention is to be submissive, but there is an inner conflict or disagreement due to anarthas, due to various reasons, how we deal with such a situation and be submissive to the authorities?
A little introspection that, you know, we are rebellious by nature. That's why we're in the material world. That's why we have a material body, because of our rebellious nature. We wanted something different. So that's a default, material default consciousness, that, you know, we want to be the enjoyer. It hasn't gone away. We want to be the controller. It hasn't gone away. So, you know, nobody really likes authority in the material world. It'd rather not. It'd rather we're the authority and do whatever we like. Everyone would prefer that, as long as we did the right thing, that is. That everything should go how I want it to go. That's what we want in the material world, that everything should go how I want it to go. So it's a big thing to, this surrender is a big thing. It's a big thing, very difficult. You see, how many people are coming to Krishna consciousness? You got to surrender intoxication, this is sex, gambling, and meat eating. Prabhupada said, if there was only one regulative principle, millions of people would come. But then they can't. They're not ready to do that. To give up that their values. They don't value spiritual life enough. It means they're still conditioned to thinking that there is some security in the material world, there is some enjoyment here. So, and until they actually, either by intelligence or by getting a higher taste, they've got to become convinced that there is actually not much. So Ambarish Maharaj, he was detached, he had realization of the material world. And so we need some introspection at that time. Why I don't want to follow? You ask yourself, why I don't want to follow? What is the objection? And then you come up with an answer, and then you say, well, why that? And why that? And then you keep going back like that. And it would bring you back to the same thing. It's interfering with something I want to do. It's interfering with something I like. Or it's stopping me from getting something that I want. It comes down to those two things. Because the two things are the materials to control and enjoy, you see? So it's a threat to one of those things. It's a threat to your control, it's a threat to your enjoyment. So therefore there's a hesitation to accept that. Of course, maybe if it's different, if it's a philosophical thing, you think it's, you know, you've been taught one way and they're saying another thing and it seems like not the right path, then it's different. Then you're open for question, then you have to submit your confusion. But otherwise, the default is, in the material world, we are the controllers and enjoyers. It's there. It's ingrained. It never completely goes till you get, yourself realize, you come to the platform of ruchi, after ruchi. So that's what we're living with. But then you be introspective. Why am I objecting to this rule from the authority? What am I afraid of? I'm going to lose my freedom, or I'm going to lose my enjoyment. Generally. That's why submission is a six-lettered word. Nobody likes that, submissive. It's not a popular word to be submissive. Right? You've got to go out and make it, and show them you can do it, and rise above.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji for your wonderful lecture. I have a question because you mentioned that Krishna is the only the enjoyer and we do everything for Krishna's enjoyment. Just I remember one devotee who was in China. He was very new one. And he said to me, he said, I was told a Krishna consciousness life is full of happiness. But on the other side, I saw the devotee in a hard time. For example, they must fast some days. For example, Ekadasi or Jamastami or something like that. You can do this. You can do that, and you cannot eat this thing and you cannot eat that thing. So, what happiness in your life? So how, my question is that, how to help this kind of, this new person to understand the spiritual life is full of happiness. Thank you very much.
By showing him you're full of happiness, it's the best thing. But you've got to become Krishna conscious to do that. There's two happy people in this world. There's a crazy person and there's a self-realized person. They're the only two that are happy. So until then, we're practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. You know, we're not happy people. We thought we were, but then we found out we weren't happy people. Happiness is there in the material world, but it's very, very low-grade happiness. Right? The pigs eat stool. They're happy. It's nice, right? But from our perspective, it's horrible. So what is the standard of happiness? So our standard of happiness is very low grade. So unless you've actually experienced the spiritual happiness, you can't, there's no comparison. You understand, when Krishna says, you can give up the lower taste by achieving the higher taste. How you get the higher taste, that's another mystery. But unless you've got something better, it's difficult to give up what you've got. So you're getting some happiness, but it's low grade. Right? Intoxicating, illicit sex, meat eating. What was it? Meat must taste very nice. Otherwise, why is everyone doing it? There must be a good taste. So they don't want to give it up because it must be a good taste. So all these things, intoxication will make you forget or make you feel powerful or forget all your troubles. And you satisfy your senses in other ways. So it's there, that the happiness, the so-called happiness in the material world is there. And if you don't know anything better, then that's it. And you can't stop the desire for happiness. You can't stop it. Because your nature is happiness, ananda. So you're not feeling that ananda. Right? So you want it. So we're feeling that vacancy is in the heart. Satchitananda, that vacancy is there. But we're trying to fulfill it materially. That's the maya, that's the problem. But unless you actually, unless as a taste, a higher taste, then it's very difficult to say no to the lower taste, because it's taste you're looking for. So the ultimate taste is not that Krishna's the only enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. But he's not the only enjoyer, because all his devotees, they enjoy equally or more. with him on that spiritual platform. So it's not that we're not enjoyers, we are enjoyers. It's not that, you know, when it says Krishna's the only enjoyer, that no, it's not. It doesn't mean Krishna's the only enjoyer. It means he's the main enjoyer. Everything is meant for his enjoyment. When we engage in giving Krishna pleasure, that's the greatest pleasure for us. That's the greatest pleasure for anyone that comes into contact with Krishna. He's a reservoir of pleasure. So anything offered to Krishna, that's their greatest benefit. Anything that comes into his contact, that is the greatest benefit. So that's what it means, because it's not that we don't enjoy it. But the consciousness, we shouldn't be going to Krishna for our enjoyment. That's what it is at the moment. Therefore, we're not pure, unalloyed devotees. We're just pure devotees. This one, not the unalloyed. You know, we're still going to Krishna for our pleasure, most of us. We have faith that Krishna will resolve all of our dilemmas and give us exactly what we want. But it's still mixed. But still, you're going to Krishna. So that will, you know, all these activities to achieve that will purify those desires eventually. As sincerely as we are, then the quicker they will. Though the intent of purpose, it means I should be doing it for Krishna's pleasure. I shouldn't be considering my pleasure. I should be considering Krishna's pleasure. So as sincerely as we apply that methodology, then the quicker we'll actually advance, we'll get Krishna's mercy, because he'll reciprocate with us. So it's the same thing. Keep them associating with the devotees, give them your mercy, give them prasadam. Just like you and I came to Krishna consciousness, some people it happens overnight, sometimes it takes a little longer. So considering the thing, just show them mercy, convince them, you know, it takes time, it's not an easy thing, not a quick process, it's a gradual process. But, you know, you've been here millions of births.
In the midst of Krishna consciousness practices, how does one fall prey to material desires, material enjoyment and material liberation? This is explained in Manasiksha. Would you tell something from that, Prabhuji?
How do we explain it? In Krishna consciousness, the material desires and etc. Is that what you're saying?
How do we fall prey to these two kinds of...
How do we fall prey to these material desires? How do we fall prey? They're already there. Material desires is a default. You're born with that. You're born with the idea that you're the body, you're the controlling enjoyer. That's a default. That's a normal thing, which we want to be happy, we want enjoyment, and we get it through the senses, so we want sense gratification. That's a default. That's what everyone's doing in the material world, right? Everyone, without exception. So that's a default. Now we've heard, by some good fortune, that this is not our real situation. There's a higher happiness than this, an eternal happiness, not this stuff that comes and goes, it's eternal happiness. And this is, and that's not here, it's in the spiritual world, it's in relationship with Krishna, and this is the process how to do it. So it's already there. All these material qualities, they're inbuilt. We're already designed, you see. We have these materials. That's a problem, it's a hospital. The material world is a hospital, it's for sick people. And this is the hearing, chanting, that is the medicine, how to get out. So it's not how they suddenly came in, these desires come in, they're already there. It's not to tolerate them while we're executing devotional service. That's renunciation, that's sannyas. So that's austerity. You've got to, these sins are making demands. This is nice, please come, this is fearful, be careful, be careful. You have to live with that and do service. As much as you can tolerate, as much advance as we are, we can tolerate those two things. So if we're not tolerant, we'll have to address them. How to be free from danger and how to enjoy. So that's our weaknesses.
I was reading Manasiksha and I saw how subtleties of Maya, how Maya comes in various forms, it is described there. So, so the practice should be strong in order to deal with the subtleties of Maya. We don't know how to recognize, we don't even recognize them sometimes.
Now therefore we have the basic principles. You got your four regular principles. Chant 16 rounds. Take initiation and perform the devotional service. This is the minimum requirement for the undergo who promises to play his part. You play your part, you be that disciple. If you can come up to that standard, then the agreement will be made. At least maintain that standard. Then your spiritual advancement actually depends on the higher authorities, on your sincerity, but we don't know what spiritual is. We have no experience of what spiritual means. So therefore he gives us, look, stay out of the four regular principles are just to keep you in a mode of goodness. They're material. Yeah? The spiritual thing is you spend at least 2 hours a day chanting Hare Krishna. That's the minimum requirements here. Intoxication, as you say, is gambling. They promote the mode of passion ignorance, which is not a suitable situation for performing devotional service. So make your life suitable, mode of goodness, follow those four things, it's a good platform to practice devotional service. And minimum you'll be 2 hours associating with Krishna through his holy name. And then the rest is up to Guru and Krishna within your heart.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Okay, last question.
Hi, Rishi. We have to follow the scriptures and we have to follow the austerity. But as we are under the guidance of our family member, if they are not following the austerity and if they are not allowing us to follow the austerity and follow the scriptures, what we will do with that situation? Hare Krishna.
Some problems in the material there's no answer for. It's like when Jubilee approached Bhishma. you've got your social customs, your obligations to your family, and they're not following. Here it says if the wife is not favorable, then supportive of your spiritual life, then you can leave the family. But you'll notice the scripture doesn't say it for the woman. It says for the woman you tolerate. Too thick and thin, you tolerate. Not equality, yeah. It's a man you go away, women you don't go away. Because what will you do on the lawn? A woman needs protection. She'll get leaves since she has no son, no husband, no father. Then she'll be exploited. So, you know, we have a reputation of breaking up families, the Hare Krishnas. What to do, you're in a family and they're in Maya and you're trying to correct your situation, go back to Godhead, but they don't have the same values as you do. They think that you're eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and the social fabric is the most important thing. It's more important than that. So that's a difference.
Now you got your job is to convince them. Difficult, especially for the woman. A man doesn't need a woman. A woman needs a family and a man. It's difficult. So you have to make them devotees. At least appreciate what you're doing. You can, if they're reasonable people, then you tell them that, look, I'm just trying to find out the purpose of life, and that is when I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, I think is a viable thing. I can go back to Godhead. If you have a better system, then I'll follow yours. But this system, it says, you know, you don't need me, so I'm going to follow you. Let me, you know, you cook, you eat what you want, but let me eat what I want, for instance. If you have a better way to go back, I'll accept your way. So you can stump them like that, because they don't have a better way. So I follow you, but we want the purpose of, you tell me what the purpose of life is and how to achieve it. And if we can't do that, then how can we blame you for wanting to resolve these questions? But it must be done in a submissive mood. Not challenging or being haughty about it, but if you have a better system, tell me, I follow. I'm open. This is the best I've found. If you've got a better way to go back to become free from the cycle of birth and death, I'll accept that. But I'm following this, and this is the path, and these are the obligations that we have. Okay? Make them think. Hare Krishna, good luck. May Lord and Saint help you. Hare Krishna, Sipa Bhadi Kinji.